Tracking session number 11212, reel 16.
Colonel Army Humphreys, Reel 16. Do you recall during the Rory fighting, Colonel, the actual personal duties and responsibilities that you were carrying out during the action?
Yeah, looking to arranging patrols, the welfare of the men generally, seeing the rations. Well, the colour sergeant did that. A lot of night work, and well, generally commanding one's remains of one's company.
Did you have much thought for your own safety, or were you just so busy that it never came into your head?
Well, did I want?
Did you have much thought about your own safety, or were you too busy?
Oh yes, one bound to. I mean, with things dropping all around you, and you having to walk about, go down and see a platoon down the headquarters. And that sort of thing. And carriers coming through. Oh, yes. And going to report for battalion orders at headquarters, which was a nasty bit of strip of land where they were always snipering. Oh, no. And one got used to the fact that if one's a bullet had it on it for you, you'd had it. But the second in command was left out of battle, you see. That was Hamilton's second in command. And then we went from there, we went back into the same orchard actually that we assembled in to go down to Fontenay-le-Painel, and we had 3 days reinforcement to get back about 400 men that hadn't come back.
Where were they coming from?
All over the place. All around the place. Some Geordies. And then, of course, 151 Brigade had to be reinforced. And they'd lost a lot of men, so had the 10th, so had the Tyneside Scottish. They got their reinforcements, mostly from Scottish regiments. This Colonel de Winton. Then from there, I went along to see Colonel Atkinson in 6th Battalion. They were having a very nasty time on our right. And I got there and the CO said, well, you can go if you like. But I thought, oh, how awful. Here I am. But my CO had given me permission to go and see him. I go and get killed in another battalion area. Anyhow, I crawled up a ditch and he was sitting out and reading the Times. Behind an enormous hedge, all the sergeant majors were cowering, and there was things dropping all around him in the way of mortars and things. And so he said, I like the sun or something. No nerve. So we popped into the trench, and I had a brief conversation with him, and then got out of it as quick as possible and back to my battalion.
Was this Major Reggie Atkinson?
Yeah.
Was he a friend of yours?
Yes, great friend. And he was in the 6th. Mm. So then we went to different areas, and of course the Americans did their hook round, and Fillet's Gap started. And when the Fillet's Gap started, we were near Caen. We went to a place called Hotel, which is another nasty place, and different people, and more officers, one or two, and men got killed and wounded. Not many after Rory, really. Our big day was Rory. Our big action. Then we... After that, we were told that this brigade we were in was going to break up because 49 Div wanted a regular brigade, a concentration area off the Falaise Gap, where we were going to be broken up, the three battalions and the brigade headquarters. By that time, Brigadier Hanmer, our CO, had gone to command 60 Allied, because our CO had been killed. Colonel Mott, commanding 9 DLI, and 8 DLI was commanded by a man called Oman. They were fairly near us. Then, so we all finished from our DLI point of view, and we were split up into companies, reinforced, and I took my company to the 7th Green Howards after a short time. And different companies went to different battalions. One went to DLI, most of them went to another brigade because 151 had just been fully reinforced by DLI people, so there wasn't much room for us. I took with me most of my company. Arrived at 7 Greenards to join in the chase through Europe, through Brussels, up to Arnhem. Of course, we got delayed on the way. The armoured got delayed. The Americans had got their bridges at Grave, and we had a bit of trouble at Eindhoven. And eventually we got through, while Arnhem was in full swing, to Nijmegen. And we... I took over from the guards armoured some Coldstreams. Actually, the officer, Captain Niddle, had won the VC, getting Nijmegen Bridge, but Arnhem was in full swing. We went down to the side of the river and we waited to collect people coming across. So they started to come after a certain time. A lot of shelling, determined sort of attacks by parties of Germans had been left behind. And it was obvious that Arnhem was a failure. In the middle of the night, people started coming through my position. Then we went back into Nijmegen, and we went out to the right, horrible place near Geel. By that time, the Germans had counterattacked the column halfway, and 151 Brigade were put into Geel, which is another of their battle honours. They had a bloody nose there. They really did have awful fighting, a lot of casualties. We were stuck out in this sort of middle of flat country, which we had to capture a farm. And my headquarters is farm. Well, the Germans put in a counterattack and they kept us for 3 days, which was very nasty. I thought we were going to lose a lot of men. We didn't lose an awful lot, but we got an awful lot of stonking. And one of my officers went bomb-happy, which didn't help. He was hopeless, poor chap. He had fought all the way through. Anyhow, the CO by that time was a man called Cox. He was wounded and retired, and Major Lloyd, the second in command, took over and got a DSO for operating this battle we were in. 151 Brigade finished off Geel, and they were going home too. 6th and 8th, but not the 9th. 9th joined on with Colonel Mogg with the 7th Army. And of course, Monty by that time was having this awful row with Eisenhower. He had a row with Eisenhower about Arnhem anyhow. And Eisenhower was being slow, and Bradley was, and Monty weren't getting on together. And Monty wanted to do a right hook round, and I don't know. It was generally very unfortunate, upsetting high command squabbles.
Did this in any way percolate down through to the lower ranks?
Oh, yes, you could feel there was. Wasn't quite. Anyhow, we 49 div, as it was, the new one, went up the on the coast, wiping up people on the coast. And we
which division were you with now?
I was with 50 div in a different brigade from 151. I was in 150 brigade. Then 152 Brigade was this regular brigade, of which some of our companies went to.
So where did you go from the position that you were in near Nijmegen?
We went out to this right flank to try and push through to cut out Nijmegen and Arnhem and go around. And we stayed quite a time there and had this nasty counterattack. And then we came back into Nijmegen, and we reformed after the counterattack and got a new CO called Wilson and Lincolns. And from there I went, Brussels leave had started. And I went on leave to Brussels. Funnily enough, the 6th Duke of Wellington was took over the position we had been counterattacked in, and first night had an awful counterattack put on in them. The CO was on leave in Brussels, and Hamilton was their second in command, and he got his DSO repelling them, but they should never have got through there. They let them through. And I went on leave for quite a time, well, about a fortnight to Brussels. When I came back, we were preparing to come home. And we all came home, except some of the officers and newer men stayed on with different other units who were posted. And that's the last I saw of Normandy. And Nijmegen.
When you came back to England, did you revert to the Dermite Infantry?
No, we were still 7th Green Heart. We went to North Yorkshire, a place called Rillington was our headquarters, near Malton, and I was stationed in a place called Thorpe Bassett, and we were training gunners to become infantry. That was our role. And the war was going on. Of course, the Ardennes came in, and then the Rhine crossing, and then D-Day. VE Day. Of course, in the Middle East, the thing, Far East, it was going on like hell. Karima had happened in early 43. A lot of my pals had been killed and wounded there. And so I got restive, didn't want to stay there, and so I put in to go to Burma to second in command of because I knew the second battalion wanted a second in command. They were in Rangoon by that time. They were going out to India. Anyhow, I was posted by the War Office. I was in a thing called a second command's pool. I was posted to all places, West Africa. A second in command of an African battalion. I'd never been in my life before. So I was shot out there by plane and started to learn Hindustani. And within 3 weeks, a fortnight, 3 weeks, I was in Burma. Landed in Burma via India. And then I was there. We were rounding up a few tired Japs in Sandaway by that time, 82 dear. I posted a 9LI as second in command. General Abdi Ricketts was the brigadier. And my CO was a nice chap. I've forgotten his name now. Sadler, no. He was the one in Nigeria. Anyhow, on the CEO's name, what was his name? Oh, yes, what's his name? Anyhow, I can't remember.
What was this West African battalion, what regiment was it? What was the name of the battalion?
9th Nigeria Regiment. I mean, in the brigade, we had the 10th Nigeria Regiment and the 5th Nigeria Regiment.
Do you recall the brigade?
It's called a brigade, yeah.
What was the name? What number of the brigade was it?
It was the 82nd Division, number 3 Brigade. And then there was...
So what time is this, then?
The CA was John Forbes. Very nice fellow. Who'd been an old... He knew Africans. He'd been with them for a long time.
What time is this? What date is this, Colonel?
This was the end of July. By the time I got out, having done my Hauser and all that kind of thing.
1945?
Yes. Yes. 1945. And, of course, in August the bomb dropped and we were at peace, but there was still sporadic fighting. And my aim and object was to get back to the 2nd Battalion, which I didn't do for another 3 or 4 months. We had Christmas 45 at a place called Zegon, having marched over the Piku Yermas. We were at Sandaway when it... bomb dropped, and down into Rangoon by slow progression. And when I got the second battalion gone back to India to train, anyhow, somebody else had been made second in command, so I went as a company commander, and I got them the reformed second in command when they came back to Malaya Chinese High School.
Is this with the 2nd Battalion?
Yeah.
You joined them in India?
Yeah. I didn't join them in India. I got to them in Burma. They'd come back, having been reinforced after Kohima, everything. It was commanded by a man called Quinton Findlater, the Royal Irish Fusilier, and it was... good battalion. And John Arnott came as one of my subalterns straight from Optu. I was his first company commander. And we held Chinese High School, sort of patrolling that part of Singapore. And then we went to Johor Bahru, where we took over from the 3rd Hussars, and we were stationed in the police barracks, and we spent the next Christmas there.
What were the kind of problems that you were dealing with? Were there any particular things that were coming about after the war? That
So there was a certain amount of demobilisation. The older ones went straight away. And then there were new officers coming from OCTU who's never seen shot fired in anger, and there were new soldiers coming. And we were stationed all round a place called, when we moved from Johor Bahru, we went up to Seremban. And I was stationed in a place called Kuala Pila, my company, which was about 30 miles out on a rather treacherous road where there were dacoits and things. And it was the next door to the Astana. We were in the village school of the Sultan of Negris in Belen. I used to go and have tea with him, and he was the first king of Malaya when they started having a king. And we used to go in and out from there.
But how long were you out there? How long were you in there?
Kuala Pila. We went from there. Oh, about 4 months, I expect. And then I went on a staff job for a short time, just as a stand-in. And also, Sean Kelly, who'd been a company commander at Kohima, and I went on a trip up to the Shan States. We really wanted to try and get to Kohima, see a memorial, but the road was blocked. We were allowed to, and we went off on our own. And it was most enjoyable for 6 weeks. No, not so much as that, a month. And I got right up to the Lasio. Anyhow, within 7 miles of the border. And then we came back. And we went to Maymew to, in Malaya to, in, I'm sorry, in Burma, back from, to go and hunt dacoities.
How long were you with the 2nd Battalion before you moved on from there?
Well, till Christmas, just after Christmas, 47 it would be. And I came home just prior to the whole battalion coming home to be amalgamated with the 1st, because they were going to amalgamate the 2. By that time, Harold Simpson was commanding the battalion, and a new set of company commanders, really. A lot of Canadians, 3 Canadian company commanders. But our Canadians in Normandy, out of the 6 we had, 2 were wounded, 2 were killed, 1 survived, and 3 were wounded.
So when they amalgamated the 2 battalions after the war, 1947, whenever it was,
they were at Rance.
Were you with the battalion? Were you with the amalgamated battalion?
Yeah, I went to the senior officers' school, because by the time I was going straight into the parachute regiment to do my training in Palestine, when I got to Port Said on the way back home, I heard that I'd got to get off at Fide because the whole division was being broken up to a brigade and had gone home. So I followed them in about 3 days. And when I got there, of course, Colonel Maud said, who was commander of the 7th Battalion, said, "We're breaking up really shortly. I'm taking command of the 3rd, but I've got a 2nd in command in the 3rd, in the 2nd. I'm taking command in the 2nd, so I shan't, you'll be surplus." So I went off on a senior officer's exercise for 3 months. down in Devon, Fremington, School of Combined Operations after that, course down in Fremington also for about 5 weeks, so that took all the summer up, and then I started my parachute training in August that year.
What year was this? 48?
48, yeah. That's right, 48.
And after your parachute training, where did you go? Did you...
Aldershot. Very stiff. And I was the oldest on the course, a major at 33. And there were three other officers, and the rest were all striplings. I mean, there was no one under over 26. So I had to do everything, 33 physically, they were doing, and it was rather hard. And I had to do everything first, because as a senior officer, I always had to jump first and everything. I was the first one to jump on that course, off to do these 8 jumps, middle of the early morning, one morning. Didn't know what was happening at all, going up in a balloon, very nasty. But anyhow, I survived without hurting myself. And quite a number of the soldiers got relegated because they were temperamentally unsuited. And we did a night jump, we did a water jump, and that sort of thing.
What was your next move?
Next move was out to Germany to go to the 2nd Battalion, where I went as governing commander beginning. Then the 2nd in command's wife died and he went home and I took over from him.
This is the 2nd Parachute Battalion?
Yeah. And I was there for 2 years. Well, a year in Germany and a year at home when the colours were presented. The first colours by the King and Queen. We were in Aldershot then. By that time, of course, the war was beginning to improve.
Which year would this be, Colonel?
This would be 48. I mean, the war was over, but I mean, things were beginning to improve at home. I wasn't home again until, you see, from really 44 to 48, I wasn't home, so I didn't know much about it. Anyhow, there we are.
And then from there, where did you go from there?
From the 2nd Battalion, I went to the Parachute Regiment, and having done my training, I went out, was 2nd in command in Hanover for a year.
And then you came back to England, and what was your next move thereafter?
Well, I was a year at Aldershot, the colours presentation, then I was made a lieutenant colonel temporary and given command of 17 para 9 DLI, because there was still a division of TA, which was 09 DLI, which had come back, broken up, reformed in Territorial Army and been a very fine battalion with 2 VCs, been chosen to be a parachute battalion.
And how long did you command it?
3 years. I enjoyed it very much.
And was that then
lived
the,
at Corbridge.
Was that retirement thereafter?
No. Then from there I went to 2nd in command in Egypt to the 1st Battalion for 3 years. Then from Egypt I came back, well, 2 years in Egypt, 1 year in Varna Castle. And then from Varna Castle I went to Catterick for 3 years, and I retired in 62 to take this job of RO 2. And that finished my active service.